Welcome to episode 36 of British Ultra Running Podcast with your co-host.
Yay!
Oh, we just had 3 minutes of so much fun, didn't we?
3 minutes of frivolity and singing.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah.
Singing and emceeing. Yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it? It was like a warm up, like an opera singer's warm up.
It was wonderful.
Before they go on stage, yeah.
I sang Whitney Houston and Dan said a rap about taking Class A drugs.
Yeah, wonderful. But Whitney Houston used to take quite a lot of Class A drugs, didn't she?
No doubt.
Maybe there's a connection.
No doubt. So
wonderful voice.
It's Wednesday the... wonderful voice. What a singer. 20th of August? I don't even know what day of the week it is. What day of the week is it?
Thursday.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was very confident.
You've gone from, you know, nobody to king of the road in the time that since we last spoke. You have become the people's champion. The world's greatest.
When did we last speak?
We spoke to John Kelly before his...
we spoke like on a roundabout in Wigan or something, didn't we?
I forgot about that. Yeah, we spoke on the phone, didn't we? Warrington. Yeah. You were in Warrington getting upset about how far out of Warrington the sign saying Warrington was.
Oh, it got worse and worse. The signs. Yeah. One crazy one. Perth and Kim Ross, 20 miles before Perth turned up.
Yeah, but Perth and Kim Ross is a county, isn't it?
I don't know.
You thought you were in Perth and you were 20 miles away.
Yeah.
That must have been awful. Jesus.
I learned to ignore them and just listen to Robbie, because Robbie always knew.
Mm.
Well, I was convinced that Robbie didn't know the exact distance until we finished for the day, but he was always spot on.
I know we're jumping around a bit here, but did anyone during the trip ever lie to you about how far away something was?
No, I don't think people lied. I think people said the worst one I got was, no one lied. Everyone just kind of estimated like the number they thought I'd like to hear.
Yeah.
The worst one I got was Charlotte at the coming out of Kendall when I said, how far away is the top of the Shap hill where we were supposed to be stopping? And she was like, oh, it's only 6 miles away or something. And I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. We're going to make such good time. Oh. And then it was another 17 miles away. It was actually, she was so out. It was like more than double out. You know what I mean?
That's not that close, is it?
Yeah. But it was my fault. Robbie always knew. Robbie had it on his computer, on your bike, and he always knew. But it was just when I was getting, like, tired, then I thought I'd just start asking other people to try and get better answers, but I would get better answers. It was closer, but they were never right.
One thing I always find impressive about you is that you don't need to know this stuff. Like, you just, it's just like, okay, it's as far as, I mean, obviously you're saying here that when 6 miles becomes 17, it's not good news, but you just get on with it. Like, it's not about the watch. You don't wear a watch in training. You're not tied to miles or whatever. You're just running.
Yeah, I got a bit better, actually. The first few days, I had that desperation, like wanting to get to the end. But then what I told myself was I wouldn't, like, look at my watch until like at least like 14 hours of the day had gone. And that started to work out quite well, because once you got to 14 hours, then you could start thinking about like how far the finish was away. So yeah, once I started doing that, it became a lot easier.
And you had a watch on this time because you had to, right? We had the tracker, but you also had to record it on GPS just for proof, right?
Yeah, so I had Robbie's watch on, which was quite good, because I didn't really understand what there was like numbers, there was a screen on there, and I never really understood what the numbers were that were on there. So, well, I could tell the like duration of the day was on there, you know, like in terms of time, and I could tell from that. But the other numbers, yeah, I don't know what they were. Yeah, but you get like the choice of screens, don't you?
It's ridiculous. That's why I've had the same watch since 2012, because it shows me the three things that I want to know on the screen, and it's easier than messing around with the rest of it.
So it was good that I didn't know, because I didn't want to constantly. Like, it didn't tell me how far I'd gone. It didn't tell me. I can't remember what. But so it worked out quite well, yeah.
So you broke the record. So well done.
I broke Richard's record. Yes.
You broke the record. 9 days, 22 hours.
21, I think. Or 21.
Plenty of time. Yeah. And Richard's previous best was 10 days, 5 hours. Right. So you had.
Yeah, 10 days, 2 hours.
Oh, 10 days, 2 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours inside his time. I mean, firstly, that puts in perspective how well he did. Like, I don't think anybody really had an idea of how good a record that was until you came along and did this, right? I mean...
It's always one of those ones that looks... It's a bit like the 24-hour race, isn't it? It looks like, that could be... not soft, but it could be, it's doable, isn't it? But yeah, Richard, yeah, he's just an absolute legend, isn't he? And the fact, I feel so, it makes me feel really proud that I'm up there with, like, Richard and Don Ritchie. Do you know what I mean? It was a record that they kind of took off each other, like, a couple of times, isn't it? And those two are just absolute
titans of the sport. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And then, when you hear, I was talking to Richard quite a lot on the last day about his, like, how he got through it and his experience. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like we were really lucky. He had to kind of, like, get through a blizzard up near Aviemore. And so, yeah, he had a lot of hardship, you know, from the weather. We were quite lucky with the weather, I think.
The weather was so hot and humid, though, that first, for the whole thing, really. But you love that, right? I mean, did it impact you being 30 plus degrees?
Yeah, everyone kept on saying to me how I love it. And I don't not mind it. But at some point it was getting like, oh, it was just too, it was too muggy. It was like muggy.
Oh, it's like close. A rainforest.
And like, I was so sweaty at times, and just like, and it was doing my nutting, and it was, and the sweaty bit always came like, it seemed to be the hottest part of the day was like 5 o'clock, like 4, 5, 6 yep. o'clock, when it was just so muggy. And what that meant was the sweatiness and the mugginess meant that I had 2 or 3 days when I was just, oh man, it was chafe from hell. Yeah, it was just awful, and I couldn't there seemed to be nothing I could do to get away from this chafe just getting worse and worse and worse all around my kind of undercarriage, if you could and there were times when there was one time I was just standing naked on the side of some A road and there was also times when there was no cars or no like no people around. I had on those really small GB shorts, and I was just kind of pulling them up. So I was just kind of running naked as well to try and get some air to the undercarriage. It was that was hard. Just that the mugginess was hard. The heat wasn't so bad, but just that mugginess that never seemed to leave us until maybe. I mean, even when we were running up through the Cairngorms with, like, I was running with Edwina Sutton and Debbie Martin Consani, and it was just felt like we were running bad water. You know what I mean? It was crazy that we were like in the middle of Scotland, and it was this. I suppose the tarmac makes it. I don't know, amplifies the heat a little bit as well, but like not complaining, because the last day and it was just so wonderful. The weather was just it was sunny. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was like spring. You know, it wasn't muggy anymore. It was a beautiful last day. And without the weather being like that, I might have struggled that mentally it might have been a lot more of a struggle than it turned out that it was. Yeah.
I think it's so hard to watch that dot and not try and guess how you're doing. Like, because you're going, the last day, you know, just the knowledge that you had to push through and do almost a 24-hour effort in one go, having done 9 days already with all the chafing problems and everything else that you've had to go through, it's just like what? Like,
yeah, but the last day was all right. Everything had gone really smoothly for the first 7 or 8 days. It really had, you know. I mean, I had a couple, like maybe on the third day, I had a little bit of time and maybe 2 or 3 minutes where I just had to like lie down on a motorway verge and then get back up again. But it had all gone so smoothly until like the second last day. And then, you know, it's awful, isn't it? Like I was really low on energy. I couldn't really run consistently. And I started to doubt whether I could make it. Like, my mind all of a sudden was like reverting back to 2 years ago and just like, oh my God, this is, maybe it's not going to happen. And that was really hard that day. But when I got up on the last day, I had a bit of trouble starting to run. I couldn't really, it was so odd. You know that bit when you change from running, from walking to running? I don't know, there's something you do with your leg when you just push off on one leg.
Mm.
I'd forgotten how to change from a walk to a run. I couldn't, Charlotte was alongside me and I was going, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. And
oh my God.
It was really bizarre. I think my left leg, it was really hard for me to lift it. And so I think I usually start with my left leg. I don't know. It was just odd. Yeah,
that would give me nightmares afterwards that I just couldn't run, I think.
Yeah, but then there was a tiny little downhill bit and I think they left me for a little bit and I started running. And as soon as I started running, In my head, I did the maths. I like worked it like really quickly. If I can run now for, in my head, I think I was running for like 21, 22 hours. If I can run for that, then I'll make John O'Groats and I'll make it in time. And something just clicked in my mind, and I just knew that
focus.
That's all I've got to do.
Charlotte kept saying that. You know, she kept saying he's just so focused. Like he's gonna do it because you can see his mind's in the right place to get it done.
It was a simple equation. Yeah, just run, just move for 22 hours.
It's so simple, but it's just it's enviable that you can be doing something like that and it be so simple, and you've got this opportunity. But at the same time, the level of pain and discomfort and, you know, mental energy that you're having to expend to get there is just unfathomable. You said you had better structure this time and it went smoother. I mean, right from the start, you were getting up at 5, kind of finishing the day at 9 o'clock, having done anywhere between 85 and 95 miles a day, right? And then sleeping and then repeat. And it just seemed to go well, right? There wasn't any day where you were out there till 11, 12, 1, 2 in the morning and then not getting enough rest and trying to go again, which is what really went wrong last time, right?
Yeah, it did. Well, I worked kind of beforehand. I said that when people would say, what are you going to do differently? He was like, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to carry on. Yeah, obviously, like day by day, I'm not going to stop. So the first day, I just had that in my head, like relentless forward motion. So when I got to the camper van and everyone, I just carried on. I'd walk and eat something, but then I'd just start running again. So the whole of the first day was just constantly moving, and that worked really well. So I took that into the second day, and again, just constantly moving, just not stopping, because the amount of time you lose, it's the same, isn't it, with 100 mile races, with the amount of time you lose at checkpoints is if you actually add it up is crazy. So if you can limit that time, it gives you, obviously if you're in a 100 mile race, it gives you a quicker finish time, but for me it gave me an earlier finish time in the evening, which gave me more recovery and it just worked. I mean, it really helped that Robbie was kind of by my side the majority of the time on the bike, because he could then feed me my drink and also like badger me to make sure I was drinking all the time, to keep sure that to keep my fuel lit coming in. I mean, that really helped. But yeah, those two things I think made a difference, just having Robbie there to do that, and then also just not stopping. And I was ridiculous. We had a toilet in the camper van, but I was like, my thing was, I don't ever want to go in that camper van, because if I go in that camper van, then I'm starting to fall to bits. So I need to be out on the road the whole time. And it meant that I was just going, I'd find a little field to go to the toilet in, rather than go in the camper van. But that started, then I kept on forgetting bog rolls, so I had to start using like McDonald's cheeseburger wrappers that I found on the side of the road and all sorts of things. And that's
going to help your chafing problem.
Yeah, that didn't help my chafing at all. Yeah. So then I think after day 4 or 5 or maybe 6, then I did start using the camper van for the toilet. So I was going in for the toilet, but then like getting out as quickly as possible. But yeah.
What was it like going past the place where you kicked the rat on the A30 last time? And like,
was brilliant, man. It was good. It was nice, because like kind of inverting the route meant that, and when I was really fresh at the start, I was going past all these places where I'd felt dreadful. Do you know what I mean? And I was kind of going past them and feeling, it gave me a bit of a boost. But then the inverse happened the other way round. Obviously I'd got a bit more tired when I was up in Scotland, and I was going past places where, I felt fresh. I mean, that first bit when I started last time round, that John O'Groats to Wick, which is about 70 miles, I must have polished that off in, I don't know, like a couple of hours last time. And this time it took me like 6 or something. It was just,
Were you just walking at the end?
No, I was trying to run. I was walking up hills, but I was trying to run.
Yeah.
And when I was just with Robbie on the bike, Robbie had come back. And so I did a lot of that last day on my own, because I just needed to be just with myself.
Yeah.
But Robbie kind of came back and looked after me in the dark. And when I was with him, I was running. I was shuffling. But as soon as I was with other people, my mum came up and she was around. The last bit, when we got to like a mile out of John O'Groats, I was still doing my shuffle, like running, but my mum was like walking quicker than me. I was like, what's the point? Why am I trying to run? I might as well just walk. Yeah, it was only when you, my perception was that I was running, but I was actually, people could walk a lot faster than me.
I was checking your tracker speed through all of that last day, trying to work out if you were running or not, and I don't think I saw it above 6.7, which is a bit over 4 miles an hour. But that, if you're walking the uphills and then, shuffling the rest, that's a pretty good pace. I mean, it's enough. It was enough.
I think it's been very generous to call it a pretty good pace.
I would be quite happy with that after a fucking... How many miles was it? Do you have any idea now?
I think it came out as... I can't remember. Was it 830 or 820? I don't know.
Okay.
I can't remember, yeah. It was one of the two. There was a couple of diversions where there was some traffic. Roadworks that we had to take and stuff. But
but you took the most direct line the whole way, including you went off the road for a bit, didn't you, in Scotland? Did you cut across on a piece of trail at one stage?
Yeah, I put a lovely bit of trail, yeah, across the Pentland Hills.
Okay.
But they'd just been that enormous thunderstorm that night, where there was some crazy rains, wasn't there, that we missed, but... Like we missed running in them, but we kind of caught a little bit of the aftermath of them. And yeah, that was just a bog.
Oh no.
Like proper bog for, yeah, I can't, maybe it's like 20K of it or something. It was beautiful. It was nice to be on a trail, but it was, yeah, just a bog.
Have you got blisters at this point? Did you get blisters or were your feet all right?
Yeah, I had a few blisters on me, yeah, but just nothing crazy. You know, they were patched up on a night and they didn't really cause me any trouble. I had a lovely blister right here. I knew I could feel it the last lap. So I think for the last maybe day and a half, I wouldn't take my shoes off because I didn't want to look at it. But yeah, beautiful blister on the side. Did I show you it? No, did you see it?
Yeah, you showed me through your sock when you came past. Yeah,
that big bunion on the side. I never had one there before on the side.
Like
of
an
my,
additional toe.
Yeah, on the side of my foot, which was. But blisters weren't a problem. No, and that was kind of cool because we went through that bog, and when we got to the bottom of the trail, Charlotte and Mick were there, and they had, you know, they had a change of socks and another pair of shoes for me, so I could just smash into them. So that wasn't an issue. There were a few like bits where there'd been floods where we had to like wade through, you know, like above our knees. Do you know what I mean? Like water. But I just take my shoes off and socks off and just like walk through barefoot and then put them back on the other side. So I think they were quite nice because like my feet and legs were hurting and you were walking through this like ice cold kind of river.
Was puddle.
A river, like a, well, like a flood, yeah. More than a puddle, like a flood, yeah.
So this whole time... Charlotte's in the camper, she's driving. Mick's in his van, he's driving. Robbie's on the bike. And you had Dave videoing, and they were with you the whole time, all of them.
Yeah, they were with us the whole time. And then also there's Richard, obviously the record holder, Richard Brown, who was around pretty much the whole time, apart from he left us for like maybe 2 or 3 days. In between, he was there for the first 2 days, and yeah, for the first two, no, maybe he was there for like day 2, 3, 4, and then he came back. He went for 2 days and then came back, yeah, which was really amazing as well to have him around.
The only one who's really been there and done this and knows what it's like on day 7, 8, 9 to try and continue to eke out that amount of mileage. I mean,
and his words were great. I mean, what he kept on saying, which resonated, was that look, you're in a better. I was in a worse state than you. You know,
okay, at this that's point, interesting.
I was in a worse state than you, and
really?
It kind of,
yeah. Was he? Like, did he walk the whole thing, like in his obviously in his race walk fashion?
I don't think he walked the whole thing. I thought he ran a little bit, but I think towards the end he was. I think I'd say at least the last 2 days or something, he was just walking, yeah.
He must have had much less sleep than you managed to get,
lots, that's what he was saying, yeah. That his skill was, his like, skill was walking, yeah. So he focused on that, which meant that he had a lot less time to recover. And, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Some nights, there was one night I finished at that, 7:30, 7 or something
So the process when you finish for the day is the same as before. So you're getting straight into bed, like eating straight away and then getting straight into bed?
Yeah, what I do is just lie down. Yeah, so if I was in the camper van, I'd just lie down. Lie down for a bit, relax for a bit, try and eat something. If Alan was around on those nights, he'd give me a bit of a, like a rub down, a massage, and and then try and get some sleep, basically. But what I was finding was like baths were really helping. So especially with my chafe, and trying to soak that chafe. So we were like trying to find like book one hotel room that some of the crew could stay in, and then I'd use the bath. And we even had someone, I mean, we haven't touched on this yet, but we touched on my crew. But the again, the support from the running community up the whole of the country, it was just immense, man. It was just unbelievable. And we had one chap in Aviemore who lent us his bar for a night, and it's just could I have been more of a hideous guest? I don't know. Like it was, I feel so bad. I'd love to. There's lots of people that we meet on the road that I'd just like to go and see again, like in normal circumstances, say thank you and also say sorry. So the chap in Aviemore, who's really kind, so we turned up. I finished for that night at Aviemore, and I was getting to the point where when I finished for the day, I was just, my legs would just go straight away. And Mick was just if I wasn't running and I'd finished running, basically Mick was just carrying me everywhere, which he started doing. So I finished in Aviemore. I was like hanging on the back of Mick's neck, and he took me to this house. He took me up the stairs in this house. This like us infiltrating this chap's house. So Mick, Robbie, me on the back of Mick, Dave like with his camera coming into the house. We went upstairs to his bathroom. I got in the bath. We are laying in the bath for a bit. Everyone else was in the bathroom. Dave filming me. He provided me some Epsom salts, which is just so beautiful as well. And went to get out of the bath and couldn't move. Get out of the bath, and again there was all this commotion because the night before I'd like passed out getting out of a bath and like fainted, and then I half fainted this time in his bathroom, so like people holding me up. And then I spent 10 minutes like dry heaving in his kitchen, in his bathroom sink. And then Mick and Robbie picked me up and carried me down the stairs and almost dropped me, and then just took me out of his house. Thanks, mate. It was just like, oh, God knows.
Thing is, you paint this picture, like speaking to you, like it was pretty smooth and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And that's just one tiny insight into just how destroyed, realistically destroyed, you were at the end of some of this. And I know you know, to get up the next day and to start running again, it's just like, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I know what it's like to do multi-day races, but not for that duration and at that intensity.
Yeah, it's always hard getting up. It's the hardest bit, yeah.
Like, it's awful. I find I sit there getting really hot and twitchy, not sleeping, and watching the clock and dreading getting closer and closer to having to start again and snatching a bit of sleep. And then you wake up and you think, I'm just going to have to get on with this. And it's that awful feeling.
Yeah, but you just have to, don't you? That's the thing. And it's that first half an hour is just really hard work because you just run like a... Well, you run like you can't run. You're all over the place. But slowly your body warms up and you get into a rhythm and you're running again. And that's... Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful when that starts happening, when you start to be able to run. And it always does happen, you know? It always does happen. However bad your legs feel and however hard it is to get into that rhythm, you always can get into it. Yeah, if you just persevere with like a really awkward ministry of silly runs, like run style for the first time. It was always really embarrassing when people would be like, yeah, I'll come at 5 a.m. and do the first hour with you. And you just have to, they'd have to see you in that first half an hour, like just moving, like, I don't know, it's just ridiculous, yeah. But when you get going, it's all right. But then I think that's why it's so important that you've got to keep that momentum going. So you, like, because if you stop again, you've got to go through that all again. So the more you can keep that pace or that momentum going throughout the day, I think the easier it is, isn't it? Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I guess trying to not stop just means, like you say, I you're getting to the end of the day. Like, that's your goal. And the less you stop, the more efficient you are, the quicker you get there, the quicker you can rest. There's all the incentive you need. And I think this time you had the maths behind you, right? You'd worked out a plan, bearing in mind what happened last time and what was sustainable this time, and you just executed the plan with the help from the others. Well,
I mean, you know me. That's not what I enjoy planning. I just like fun. So I'm really lucky that Robbie had spent hours, executing the plan, basically. Just putting it there, and it just, it went really, really smoothly. I was saying that they wanted me to push on the day, on the day that we only did 70-odd miles.
So that was down before as kind of, if we want to go for a faster time, we could potentially extend that day. And it got to that point, and you definitely didn't feel that it was sustainable to do that, right?
Well, the talk was that push on here, we might be able to get, and I was just like, no, let's not mess with it. The plan is working. You know what I mean? The plan's working. Every day so far has been smooth. We've reached our goal and we've had time to relax. And I was saying to him, I can see, with this plan, I can see the finish, you know, I can see it happening. It's clear and it's simple and we're going to make it. But I was worried if we started messing around and I started trying to push too much, then, you know, then the wheels would start to come off a bit. So there were disagreements within the team, at that point. And in the end, I think I just went on an extra, 4 miles or something that day, and kind of just to kind of like appease everyone, but I didn't push like they wanted me to. No.
I just, it's got to come from you. That's got to come, you know, they can advise you and tell you what's what, but you know what happened last time and how, you know, day six, day seven, things unraveled to a point where you just literally ground to a halt and you needed to protect yourself from doing that again. And it sounds like that's what you did.
It did. And it was just the fact that it was that kind of shooting for the record of Andy Rivets that none of us believed in anyway in the crew. So it was just, my thing was like, why are we shooting for something that's just not real? It could be any number anyway. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
I think if anything, this, what you did here just puts the final nail in the coffin for anybody who was hanging on to the idea that that record is legitimate. I mean, it just literally can't be. For you to have run that well and done what you did, and for someone to suggest they did it almost a day faster is just frankly ludicrous. I noticed there's a petition going around now for people to sign and for that record to be quashed, I suppose, which is interesting to see. But I think this reopened the discussion in a lot of places online. I've got to admit, I didn't go and check all the chatter out. I've got too much on my plate at the moment to worry about people, you know, discussing, discrediting that. I think your performance did exactly what it needed to do. You set a new best time, and I don't know anybody that's not going to recognise that as the record as it stands.
The other thing that makes me sad about that record is I mean, Richard Brown, with such dignity, hasn't he, for years and years and years, has just kept quiet about the fact that it's such an iconic record, isn't it, to have in if you're a British ultra runner, I suppose. And Richard has held that for, like, I mean, what were we talking about, like 25, maybe 30 years, I can't remember when he set it. Yeah, and for him not to be recognised as the true record holder, it's really quite sad. But it just shows the kind of character of the man, that it's just nothing, that he just accepted it.
So, he knows he's the record holder, and that's all that matters to him, I suppose. But most people, I imagine, would feel quite differently, that, you know, they would want to, you know, get rid of that, like, little blemish that's on But I think this, if anything, you've done him a favour here, because you've helped show that his record was the true one all along.
Well, hopefully, yeah. It just made me sad to see, when I was in Land's End, to see the kind of picture of Andy Rivett up there.
Was it actually up down there, is it?
Yeah, it's up there, and it just should have been... He just should be Richard, do you know what I mean? He just should have been up there for years and years and years. But anyway, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's annoying that it's there and it still gets a mention. But what can you do? I mean, it will be interesting to see where that movement to get rid of it goes, but we'll see. Where's your body at now? Where's your head at now? How ruined are you? Like four days on? Because you came round on the way home. Charlotte drove almost non-stop from John O'Groats to, you know, just north of London where we are. And you were doing that sort of fading in and out of having energy thing. But you're still walking around, cleaning the van, you know.
Yeah, it was a token effort. I think you did more cleaning.
Yeah, but you were still up and about and trying to move,
day,
you know?
Yeah, that day, so that was Monday, wasn't it? Was that Monday?
I've had a couple of days
of, like, struggling a little bit to lead a normal life. I've had, like, maybe I can do an hour of, like, normal things, and then I'm like, oh, just go and lie down for a bit. But today I'm back on it. I feel like I'm back at rerun, you know, like a full day at rerun, and I'll go and babysit my granddaughter later this afternoon. I feel like I'm back on it. Obviously, I'm still a little bit tired. I'm not as sharp as, not that sharp anyway, but not as sharp as usual, but. Yeah, I actually feel all right, and my legs have really, they were really swelled up, I think, when I saw you, and they're pretty much back to normal. I've got ankles now, so.
You have come through this incredibly well.
I mean, I still ache. I've got hideous scabs all over my lips. I think just from being outside, just from being in that sun for that amount of time.
Yeah.
And really, like stingy mouth ulcers all over my mouth, I suppose, just from being run down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel okay. Yeah. So, but I think I did have a lot of sleep over the last 2 days. So maybe I've been quite sensible like that.
You just got to let your body come back, haven't you? Everything is different every time you come back from this sort of thing. And this is such a massive thing to come back from. It's just, you won't know until you try and push your body again, right, how deep that fatigue really goes.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I'm looking at runners and, like, out on the road and up and down the seafront, and I'm jealous, yeah. So,
yeah.
So maybe, yeah. Be nice. I mean, I'm not ready to run. Actually, I was babysitting my granddaughter on Tuesday, and she did that thing where she kind of, we were at a playground where she runs towards the swings where there's other kids that like, swinging on the swings. Yeah. So I had to break into a bit of a run to get to her before she was whacked in the head by toddler on the swing. So, and, yeah, so I managed to do that, much to Charlotte's amusement. Yeah, as I so maybe I'll be running. Maybe I'll try a little bit of a run next week sometime. I'll miss it already.
Yeah, that's it. It's part of your daily routine. It makes you feel better. And if it's not there, then sometimes it's better to just shuffle around and let it come back than just completely stop, right?
I think when you get to the point in recovery, when you get to the point where you can move a little bit, I think it's worthwhile, even if it's only popping out for a couple of miles, because I think that movement really, it really helps recovery.
I always trust the head more than the body. If you feel motivated to run, then try. As long as you're not in severe soreness and stiffness, you know, if most of the pain is gone and you're just a bit tired, then if your brain wants to run, go and see what happens. Obviously, you're going to have a load of crap in your system you need to kind of flush through and sweat out a bit. It's going to help. I mean, I don't envy you those sweaty nights. You waking up sweating the bed out at night.
Oh my gosh,
I hate that so much.
Sleeping with towels and but it's all good, isn't it? Yeah,
it does feel good in the morning. You're like, oh, that had to come out.
But and also you need to wee more, because you're right, there's just gunk in you, isn't it? There's all this stuff that you need to get out of your, like, clear out of your body.
I mean, that's that inflammation, that's flushing that inflammation out. That fluid is coming out of your system, isn't it? I mean. Right, so Dave McFarlane shot this film and took loads of amazing pictures, and I saw a little trailer for it yesterday.
It came out
very quick. What's the deal? Yeah. Is it going to be a full-length feature?
I don't know. Let's get Dave on to speak about that. Yeah, a full-length, what are we talking about? Lord of the Rings style. Yeah, 3 hours. Real time. We could go real time. I think it will be a good, you know, like those running documentaries, you know, like good 45 minutes or something, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, I don't really watch them. I don't think I've ever watched one. I'm probably not that up for watching it, and I was disappointed to find out that Carol Baskin's not in it.
He's only done the trailer. I think all of that's still up for
discussion, you know.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah.
No, seriously, I will watch this one, because I don't know. It just that trailer really set it out well. Like, it was a proper record. I mean, that there are a lot of FKTs going on this year and a lot of truly legitimate performances, but I just don't know anybody else that could have done that for so long on the road, running as much as you did. Nobody's coming in with that road running experience, you know, that 24-hour experience, that 6-day experience. Yeah, you had to put all that together, and the experience the last time. Yeah.
Yeah. They do come close, those lorries, yeah.
I mean, you say you don't notice the vehicles, and I guess a lot of that is coming from running in India so much in the past, but the thought of you running on those roads at night is quite worrying, just sitting at home thinking about it, honestly. And then you see the pictures, and I'm on the phone to you and hearing the horns going past, and it's like, oh, my God. There was one point where Robbie was like, I just can't ride with him, it's too dangerous. And I was like, I mean, that really doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, but Rob was brilliant, pretty much all of the way. He was. But as soon as we hit that A9 in Scotland, it was... Yeah, he made the right call. It was far too dangerous for him to be on a bike.
Because you can tuck in, but he's sort of sticking out slightly in the path.
Yeah, I think if you get a wobble on a bike and you've got your feet clipped in and you're... It's tough, isn't it? Like, it's easy for me to kind of jump into a lay-by or jump into a ditch or something. But on a bike, you're kind of... it's harder. To get off quickly, isn't it? I mean, Richard did a little bit riding behind me, but that would have been ridiculous to Richard was a little bit he's like the classic kind of old man on a bike.
Did he ever cycle into you a bit?
No, he never cycled into me, but there was one brilliant time when he was following Robbie's computer with the route on his In fact, Robbie set it up so the lady would speak to him out of his phone, and which is convinced it was a real, oh, here she is again, chatting to him. And the lady, for some reason, told him to go round the wrong way on the roundabout. So Richard just listened, and he was, there's this huge roundabout near Bristol, and Richard was just cycling the wrong way round it, right in the middle of it, looking at his phone, trying to work out which way we were going, and kind of like wobbling in and out of like swaying in and out. And that was our best, our most colourful.
I can just imagine him doing that.
That came out of some Bristolian's mouth at Richard. Yeah.
Did Rerun get loads of good press? It seemed to. Like, people really seemed to engage with it, and
Yeah, Charlotte said we did the kind of 10-day shop stop thing. Yeah, Charlotte said it went really well. There was a lot of good
positive
chat.
Positive chat.
So that was good. And then when I was in the mood, obviously I tried my hardest to speak to lots of people that came out and pushed the rerun message. So apologies to people who I may have started ranting at. And we had I don't know if it's a chance for me to thank anyone who might listen to this pod, but it was just the runners that came out, it was just so brilliant again, and it makes such a difference, you know, to a day's running for me. It really does change the energy of the day, you know, when you have people coming out with you. And I don't think people understand the impact they have on me as and my energy, and the kind of impact on that for me getting to the finish. Like everyone that like Mick has his van, yeah, and everyone writes their, he gets everyone who's run with me or been there to write their name on the side of his van.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of it, you know, there was a lot of names on there, but and all of those people have played a part in helping me, like, get to the finish. You know, it was just amazing again. Yeah, the support from people.
This was just good positive energy for everybody. You know, they love you. Yeah. You love them. It's doing something incredible with a good message and a really, really, really difficult record to go after.
And I even had, like, Robbie was agreeing with it as well. Like, he wasn't quite calling it the universe like I was. But, like, the universe looked after us, man. Like when we needed particular runners or particular kind of style of person, they just turn up. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you might just need, like, someone really calm and who just run alongside me and not say much, and then other times you might need like a real chatterbox who was like full of stories, who'd like lift the energy. Do you know what I mean? When it was a bit low and stuff, and we always seem to have the right people come at the right time, and that crazy, like we'd lose like two people who'd done like maybe 50k with us at one roundabout, and then literally at the next lay-by, that purely coincidentally, there'd be two more people ready to come and do another like 20k and completely like kind of lift and change the mood of the day. And it was just so many beautiful people out there.
That's the best part of it, right?
It is the best part of it, man. Yeah, it really is. It's that. Yeah, it's just that. I don't know, that confirmation of how wonderful our community is, and also getting to see like different parts of the country, the kind of different runners that are real, like buzzy around like Kendall and stuff, with all the kind of like the fell runners coming out and different parts of the country and kind of different styles of runners and different. It was just it was brilliant, and everyone like I say pays a massive part in gets the finish. And also, like, the more people that came out, the more I'm kind of motivated like to finish, because I feel like I'm finishing for everyone that's come out, you know. I have a duty to try and, like, they've given their time, so I have a duty to get to the finish for them as well. Yeah. So it's all it's good, you know.
People at, like, we had at one of our events on while you were out there, and everybody, I know I told you this already, but everybody was asking how you were doing. Everybody, you know, how's he feeling? You know, how's he doing? You know, I think I got a few slightly kind of snotty messages from people just going, where's the podcast? I thought you were going to speak to Dan regularly. But the reality was, like, I'd talk to Rob and he'd be like, look, he's really tired. It's the end of the day. And I just wanted you to get on with what you were getting on with. I didn't want to keep being like, mate, can we just chat for 5 minutes? You just needed to be there and in the moment, I think.
When it worked, didn't it? Then there was a couple of,
But it wasn't,
at the end of the day, it might have been quite good to get me in like some real, that grim bit.
James, but you don't want to speak then, do you? Like, the energy's not there. If, like, someone gives you the phone, you're like, really? No. Maybe Dave caught that stuff on camera anyway, so...
Yeah, he'll have that, yeah, definitely.
What goes on from this? Like, did you finish this now and start thinking, right, I want to have a go, you know, run across America or Europe or something else? Or is this like, okay, I've really ticked that box and I'm up for racing again when it starts back, you know, in a way that you want it to?
No, it's a hard one. It's like when I, towards the end of this, like the last few days, I was like, oh my God, this is, I just don't want to, yeah, I'm done now. You know, this is it. If I make it, I'm happy. I can just, yeah, just go back to running on the downs and just doing nothing. And but then, like a day after, it's always the same, isn't it? Yeah. Like you hate that hurt you put your body through. It feels so horrible and you'd never want to put yourself through it again. But then the day after, you're like, oh, I've got to do it again. I need to go further. I need to push more. I need to get myself into a, yeah, to see. And so, I don't know, man. Yeah. Open to suggestions.
Well, we'll ask all the customers to email in. We don't have an email address, but by all means, email us and let us know what your suggestions are. I think Cross India is the one for you.
Or something. To India, yeah.
India, yeah. Karakoram Highway. Anyway, it's a big world out there. We're getting back to it. I know you've got to go because you've got to go and babysit, so.
Yes.
Man, nice. We all awesome. Love you. Well thanks, done, thanks for telling everyone what it was really like. And, you know.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. No, but like, I know it sounds cliche, but I just don't think anyone else right now could have done that. There might be someone else, non-UK based, who has the skill set to put in to have a crack at that. But my God, you know, that would be a rare person.
It's a good challenge.
If you're saying that, then I reckon it's up there.
No, if someone beats it, it's good. Then I'll have to do it again, don't I? To get back out there again. Yeah. I think,
Don't say that to Charlotte just yet.
Yeah.
All right, man. Love you. Take it easy. Rest
love
well.
Love you too. See you later, man.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.